Let us hear the word of God as it is found in the book of Isaiah, reading from chapter 6, verses 1 to 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I. Send me." Amen. The writer Anne Lamott is famous for saying that the two prayers she uses more than any other are "help" and "thanks." In one of her recent books, however, she has added a third prayer to these other two. She now says there are three essential prayers: help, thanks, and wow. It's probably true that most of us don't think of the word wow as a prayer. And yet, for Anne Lamott, it sums up a key aspect of prayer. In an interview on National Public Radio, she described it this way: "Wow is the praise prayer, the prayer where we're finally speechless." She says, "When I don't know what else to do, I go outside and I see the sky and the trees and a bird flies by, and my mouth drops open again with wonder at the just sheer beauty of creation. And I say, wow." You say it when you see the fjords for the first time at dawn. Or you say it when you first see the new baby and you say, "Wow, this is great." Wow is the prayer of wonder. As far as we know, the prophet Isaiah did not have the word wow in his vocabulary. But if he did, he could easily have used it the day he saw a vision of God in the temple. In that extraordinary moment, Isaiah encountered the undiluted holiness of God. It was a moment of absolute wonder, and it was an experience that completely changed his life. We're told by Isaiah himself that this event happened in the year King Uzziah died. Isaiah was in the innermost part of the temple, which suggests he may well have been a priest serving in the house of God. But if it was a common occurrence for Isaiah to be in the temple, there was nothing common about what happened on this particular day. It was as if the curtain separating heaven and earth was suddenly pulled back, and Isaiah was able to see directly into the throne room of God. There was God, seated on a throne, high and exalted. Words, it would seem, were completely inadequate to describe what God looked like. All Isaiah could say was that the robe God was wearing was so massive that just the hem of it filled the whole temple. Isaiah also saw seraphs, a kind of angel, flying above God's throne. These angels were calling out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." Their voices were so loud that the doorposts of the temple shook and the whole building was filled with smoke. When he saw this, Isaiah didn't exactly say, wow. What he actually said was, woe, woe is me. This experience of God's holiness was so overpowering that Isaiah couldn't imagine how he would survive it. He was a sinful man living among a sinful people. How could he see the Lord Almighty and live? But mercifully, God did not consume Isaiah with fire from heaven. Instead, God sent one of the seraphs to take a live coal from the altar and touch it on Isaiah's unclean lips. The seraph said, "Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Then God asked, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" Isaiah responded by saying, "Here am I, send me." With that, he became a prophet of God. Isaiah probably didn't see what happened in the temple that day as an experience of prayer. But this story has some valuable lessons that can be applied to the subject of prayer. Very few of us have visions as intense as the one Isaiah experienced. One of the few visions in the Bible that compares to this is the vision John of Patmos received, a vision he recorded in the book of Revelation. Among other things, John described the throne in heaven and how angelic beings surrounding the throne never stop saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Experiences like this are rare indeed, so rare that they feature prominently in the Bible. But even though very few people have experiences of this magnitude, every one of us is given the opportunity to encounter the holiness of God. We have the opportunity to encounter the holiness of God through prayer. One of the key things we do in prayer is pay attention to God. Unlike Isaiah, we may not have the benefit of God suddenly breaking into our lives in an overpowering way. We may not find God suddenly showing up in all his glory. But that doesn't mean we can't experience the holiness of God in our lives. We just have to stop and look for it. It's always near us. We just have to pay attention if we're going to see it. The poet Elizabeth Barrett Browning said, "Earth's crammed with heaven, and every common bush afire with God, but only he who sees takes off his shoes. The rest sit around it and pluck blackberries." It's in prayer that we turn our focus to God. Simone Weil described prayer as absolutely unmixed attention. In prayer, we turn away from what distracts us and we put God at the center of our lives. In prayer, we praise God for his holiness and his glory. This is why the very first prayer we offer to God in our Sunday worship is a prayer of adoration. In this prayer, we're declaring our praise for God. We're turning our attention to him and acknowledging all his greatness. Just as we put adoration first in our congregational prayers, we should also put it first in our personal prayers. Many years ago, someone came up with a way to remember all the different parts of a fully developed prayer. This person came up with the acronym ACTS. Each letter in ACTS stands for a different part of the prayer. A is for adoration. C is for confession. T is for thanksgiving. S is for supplication, which is the same thing as asking God for help. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication are all part of prayer in the fullest sense. You'll note, however, that adoration comes first. And that's not just because Acts is the best word you can come up with when you arrange these letters. The reason adoration comes first is that this is how we should begin all our prayers, by paying attention to God. We adore God by praising him. The Bible is continually calling us to give our praise to God. The classic example of this is Psalm 100, which says, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name." No amount of praise is too much. In fact, all of nature is called to join in praising God. As Psalm 96 says, "Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea resound and all that is in it, let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy. They will sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth." When Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, he instructed them to begin with adoration or praise. He told them to begin by saying, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," or "holy be your name." These are words of praise. The fancy word for all this is doxology. Many of us grew up in churches where we sang a hymn called the doxology. We may not have known it as that, and we may also not have known that it has been used to praise God in worship for the past 400 years. As it happens, we're going to sing it today, as we do every Communion Sunday. The words are undoubtedly familiar. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Doxology, or praise, is an indispensable part of prayer. In fact, without it, our prayers would become seriously distorted. It's easy for our prayers to become focused entirely on ourselves. We ask God for the things we want. We thank God for the things we have received. We ask God to forgive the sins we have committed. These are perfectly valid things to do in prayer, as long as we remember that prayer isn't just about us. The way we make sure prayer isn't just about us is by starting our prayers with praise. The way we lift our focus from ourselves is by shifting our focus onto God. Philosophy professor Merrill Westfall relates a story about his neighbors who were visiting a cathedral in Italy with their 3-year-old son. The boy saw a woman kneeling in one of the pews, and he asked his parents what she was doing. His parents said, "She's praying. She's asking God for things." A couple of minutes later, the parents noticed their son kneeling in one of the pews. They asked him what he was doing, and he said, "I'm praying. I'm asking God for gelato." Merrill Westfall says there's nothing wrong with this prayer. But clearly, this cannot be all that prayer is. If prayer becomes nothing more than asking God for things, then it becomes an exercise in narcissism. It becomes all about me. Prayer, as God intends it, has to do with remembering that I am not the most important thing in the universe. Prayer, as God intends it, is a way of putting our priorities straight and making sure that we put God ahead of ourselves. Merrill Westfall says prayer is a deep, quite possibly the deepest, decentering of the self, deep enough to begin dismantling, or if you like, deconstructing that burning preoccupation with myself. That is why praise is fittingly first in the list of the elements of prayer. Praise puts God at the center of all things, which is where he truly belongs. Praise acknowledges God as someone who is holy. God is holy, we are not. Praise undoes our tendency to make idols of all kinds of things, including our own selves. Praise keeps us worshiping the Creator rather than created things. Praise is our way of declaring who it is we finally belong to and who it is we finally trust. As human beings made by God, it is our duty to praise him. But it is also our delight to praise him. We have a need to praise God, for that is what we were made for. When we praise God, we are finding our true vocation. And in so doing, we will also find our deepest joy. Presbyterian preacher John Buchanan tells a story about Oral Hershiser, who was a pitcher on the Los Angeles Dodgers baseball team that won the World Series in 1988. As the star player on the winning team, Hershiser became quite a celebrity, especially in L.A. As a result, he was invited to be a guest on The Tonight Show, then hosted by Johnny Carson. During the interview, Carson asked Hershiser how he managed to stay so calm while he was pitching in the World Series, when he was out there all by himself on the pitcher's mound, being watched by 50,000 fans in the stadium and millions more on TV. Hershiser gave an answer Johnny Carson did not at all expect. He said, "I sing a hymn. I'm a Christian, and so I sing a hymn to myself out there that we sing every Sunday in church." Johnny Carson wasn't sure what to say to that, so he asked Hershiser if he would sing it right there on TV. Hershiser said he would and began singing, "Praise God, from whom all blessings flow." In that moment, out on the pitcher's mound, when Hershiser could easily have felt that it was all about him, he was remembering that in the end, it's all about God. He was remembering that we have no higher duty and no greater delight than to praise God. Amen. Let us pray. Eternal God, we praise you for your greatness, your holiness, your goodness. We offer you our adoration, for you are our God, and we are your people. Accept our praise, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.